Morning. So I am going to be talking about estimating the size and cost of the safety net population for STD prevention. Okay. So the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, as most of you know, is expected to increase the proportion of people in the United States who have health insurance. And it's doing this through a couple of mechanisms. There are subsidies available up to 400% of the federal poverty level, and then dependent coverage is feasible for up to age 26. The subsidies up to the federal poverty level is dependent upon state Medicaid, Medicaid expansion. Even with these, the coverage is not expected to reach 100%. And for people who are uninsured, they may continue to seek low-cost care. They're doing that already. Patients in STD clinics typically have lower incomes than people who don't visit STD clinics. And studies have shown that fees and copays do reduce the proportion of people who are willing to seek care. In fact, the study that's cited there is one that was done in the Denver STD clinic. So we wanted to estimate the size of the uninsured population overall who are expected to need STD services. The Congressional Budget Office has produced estimates, but we wanted to hone that down and look at the people who are at particular risk for STDs or who merit screening based on existing clinical guidelines. And then we wanted to get something of a handle on estimating the cost of providing services to the population. So first of all, we use the CBO estimates. They have been publishing periodic estimates every 6 months or so of the proportion of people in the United States who are expected to be uninsured through the year 2023. And the U.S. Census Bureau gave us population estimates for persons in our targeted age range, which was 15 to 44. The National Survey of Family Growth provided STD risk and insurance status. And then secondly, we wanted to estimate the chlamydia prevalence in the uninsured risk population and the cost of providing chlamydia screening and treatment. From the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, otherwise known as NHANES, we have population-level estimates of the prevalence of chlamydia. And then we use published literature for cost estimates. So how do we define the risk population that needs STD services? First, we started with clinical guidelines. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends screening sexually active young women. Pregnant women of any age, it's recommended that they be screened according to CDC guidelines. And women who are outside the age-based range should be screened annually if they have risk factors, and we define that as more than one sex partner in the last 12 months from NSFG. Men who have sex with men should be screened for chlamydia and other STIs according to CDC guidelines. We define that as at least one male sex partner in the last 12 months. Persons newly diagnosed with HIV infection should be screened according to CDC guidelines. We don't have an estimate for them because there are about 50,000 of them a year, and you'll see in a moment what the magnitude of potentially leaving them out of the calculations is. But then it is also possible that a certain proportion of those persons would fit into screening guidelines under some of the other criteria I have listed here. Persons who have been diagnosed with chlamydia should be repeat screened at 3 months. And so we included cost estimates for that. This is apparently a line of sight thing, and I don't know where the line of sight is. Oh well, so it's not advancing. Another factor is that men who have at least one sex partner should be screened annually because of elevated risk, even though there are no guidelines. So here's digging into the uninsured inputs in a little bit more detail. The Congressional Budget Office estimated that about 20% of the population was uninsured in the year 2013. That is expected to decline rapidly over the next few years to 11%, and there it's going to level off. And you can see the census population estimates, and we use straight line extrapolation. We just drew lines between these every 5 year estimates. Here are the costs. Screening of negative and positive persons. The cost for screening positive people is higher because of treatments and sometimes occasionally repeat visits. The screening costs are lower than the diagnostic costs because for screening we assumed it would be happening opportunistically at a healthcare visit for some other purpose. Diagnostic testing, on the other hand, we figured that was probably motivated by symptoms. We assumed 20% of the population with chlamydia would be symptomatic and seek care. And if you're wondering how you can have diagnostic testing of persons who are negative, that's for people who were getting repeat screens. We assumed that the repeat visits would also be motivated solely by the chlamydia test. Therefore, we assessed the entire cost of the visit to the cost of screening that you'll see here in a moment. And here's what the results look like. You can see that the numbers start off fairly high, and they rapidly drop to about 4.3, 4.4 million, and it bounces around a little bit based upon population changes. And the cost starts off at about $249.5 million, and it drops rapidly to $136 to $140, and there it stays. Here's what it looks like graphically. There we go. There are the people. The men are in green. The women are in yellow. The number who are uninsured and at risk for STDs drops fairly rapidly to 2016, and then it levels off. And the cost does the same. But even when it bottoms out, it's bottoming out at somewhat less than $150 million. So there are some limitations to this analysis, obviously. Our estimates of population growth and uninsurance are based on current levels and national estimates. We don't have state-level estimates right now. We're working on getting those. So changes in the proportion uninsured may vary based upon what is happening with Medicaid expansion in different states. Different states are growing their populations at different rates, and it is possible that population may shift around a little bit between states based upon Medicaid expansion. Chlamydia screening is not the end-all of STD prevention services. Gonorrhea screening is recommended for a fairly broad swath of the population, and syphilis screening as well. And then there are additional things. People in this targeted age range, 15 to 44, are certainly eligible for HPV vaccine if they haven't gotten it, and high-intensity behavioral counseling is not included here as well. We just wanted to get something of an estimate of what the cost of providing services to this population might be. NHANES data don't include rectal infection. They don't sample with rectal specimens, which may understate the prevalence in some populations. And persons with insurance, they may not be willing to use it because of confidentiality concerns, and therefore, if they don't use their insurance because of confidentiality concerns, at that point they become like a self-pay patient, and they're motivated by the same factors that would influence self-payers. So anyway, the CBO estimates show that the non-elderly uninsured population is going to stabilize at about 11%. Based upon STD guidelines and preventive services task force guidelines, as well as STD risk factors, indicates that about 4.4% of the, or 4.4 million persons in the U.S. will need STD services through 2023, and they won't have insurance. Therefore, something will have to be done to provide for their care. And the cost of providing services to the population is substantial. The CDC budget out to the states is less than $100 million per year. So just looking at chlamydia screening just to the uninsured population is already almost 50% above that. Thank you.